I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. And in your bulletin, there would be a handout that is a copy to follow along with today's message. There's fill in the blanks, there's scriptures there. And as we go throughout today's message, you'll be able to follow along with that sheet, and the answers, as well as the scriptures we read, will be up on the screen. So we're looking at John chapter 3. We're on the third week of the series called Eclipsed by the Sun, and this is the final message of this series. And we're looking specifically at a moment in time in John chapter 3 where John the Baptist is doing his ministry, Jesus is starting to do his ministry. John's followers see that, wait a second, John, we have the corner on baptizing people, but this Jesus dude, his followers are baptizing people, and they're baptizing more people than we are. So they're a little bit jealous, and they're trying to protect their leader. They're saying, we got to do something about this. We've been discovering that John's ministry was being eclipsed by the sun. The sun is Jesus. But John explained to his followers, he said, you know what? This was the whole plan all along. There comes a point where he, Jesus, must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. And today, we're finishing the story of that encounter and finding out what else John had to say about that. So we're reading in John chapter 3, starting in verse 31, going to verse 36. Reading out of the New Living Translation, NLT. It says, he has come from above, speaking of Jesus, and it's greater than anyone else. We are of the earth, and we speak of earthly things, but he has come from heaven and is greater than anyone else. He testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Anyone who accepts his testimony can affirm that God is true, for he is sent by God. He speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands, and anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Let's pray. God, we pray that you would be with us these next few moments as we explore what you have to say to us today through your word. We pray that you would speak to both our hearts and our minds, that we'd be open to what you want to share with us today. Please don't let us leave the same as when we came in. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. So, the eclipse. It's old news now, right? It's 2 weeks ago, solar eclipse. Now we're just moving on with life. And can you believe it? It's already fall. I mean, school's going back into session. They're talking about pumpkin spice stuff already. And I saw a commercial for Pier 1 Imports. And they're like, check out our fall collection. I'm like, no, summer. I just want summer to hold on just a little bit longer. But in talking about eclipse, this is talking, you know, our series is about an eclipse, eclipse of the sun. This kind of plays off of the news that happened 2 weeks ago of a total solar eclipse. And if you don't quite understand what eclipse is, it's when something gets in the way of something else to where you can't see the original item. So if I have this microphone and I put this piece of paper in front of it, I can't see it. It's eclipsing my microphone. Get the concept of eclipse, right? Just making sure we're all on the same page. John's ministry was being eclipsed by Jesus' ministry, and John was simply trying to tell his followers, saying, hey, let me reveal to you why Jesus was eclipsing them and why he was eclipsing him. You see, John said, I'm just a man. But Jesus is from God. John had a mission given by God, but Jesus' mission was even greater. John speaks about God, and Jesus speaks for God, because he is God. John was revealing Jesus' purpose for coming. We find this in what we just read in verse 36, saying that anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. And anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. So, we have a guy who is a part of our church. Many of you guys know him. His name is Dave. And Dave has volunteered to help me manage the construction of our basement. We're building out our basement to create two more rooms for our boys to be in, as well as two bathrooms. And so he has taken upon himself to help me hire the tradesmen that we need for it. And one of those tradesmen we need is a plumber. And so he's on the phone with the plumber. He's like, hey, dude, I got an extra job for you. You can do it on the side. It's going to be great. And, oh, yeah, you don't even have to worry about the concrete in the basement. I'll have the homeowner do it. He gets off the phone. He says, great news. The plumber said, yes, he'll do it. I'm like, okay, great. Now, what's this thing you're talking about? The concrete? He's like, oh, yeah, you got boys. We just need buckets, a jackhammer, and, you know, no big deal. You guys can do it. I'm like, what? I didn't know what I was getting myself into. Or, wait, I didn't even get into it. I got placed into it. And he calls me up first thing yesterday morning. He says, okay, Ryan, today's the day. We got to get all that concrete out. The plumber wants to start next week, and it all needs to be gone. You see, they did stub our basement for a bathroom, so they got the weird-looking pipe sticking out of the ground, but they're in the wrong place. And so we have to break up the concrete to move them into the right place, but we're also doubling it and making two bathrooms out of the one set of plumbing. So he needs all the room to be able to do it. So he says, go to the store, rent a cement breaker, and then as soon as you have it at the house, call me. I'll come right over. I'll tell you how to use it. I'll show you how it's done. I'm like, okay. So I felt kind of weird going over to True Value. I'm like, I need something to break up concrete. I don't know what it's called. And he's like, oh, yeah, you need one of those. It's a cement breaker. And I look at it, and I'm like, oh, cool. It is a jackhammer. I'm excited. And I'm looking at the jackhammer, and it's on wheels. And I'm like, this is really cool. It's on wheels. And as I look closer to it, I realize, wait, the wheels is just the carrying system for this thing. There's no piece of metal in the bottom that breaks up the concrete. You actually have to take the jackhammer out. So Dave comes over, gets to the house. He shows me, and he's like, watch this. He just flicks it on. And he's just putting holes into it. And I'm like, wow, looks kind of easy. And he's like, no problem for you. Just break it up. Have the kids haul it upstairs to the dumpster outside. You'll be good. I'm like, I only rented this for 4 hours. Is that okay? And he's like, oh, you'll be done. No big deal. Well, Dave left, and I picked up the jackhammer to find out that jackhammers only come in one size, and that is not for short people size. I think the thing weighed as much as I do, and I found it very difficult to do the jackhammering. And we jackhammered, and we jackhammered. My kids put the rocks into the broken cement pieces into buckets. They hauled them upstairs. They took them outside, and we were going, and we're going. Like, Dad, when are we going to be done? I'm like, I think we're almost done. And they're like, Dad, are we going to make that time, that 4 hours? I'm like, I think we're going to do it. And we're going to town, and it's getting harder, and it's getting harder. And we keep on doing it. Now, the purpose of us for breaking up the concrete was to reveal the pipes that were already there. And he said, as you're going along, you're going to know which path you need to take by finding out where the pipes go. And so as we're breaking up, we start following the pipes. And David told us that the pipes are probably going this way, to discover that the pipes are going this way. And we were jackhammering the wrong spot. You see, we had to do all this hard work to reveal what was underneath, what was inside, to get to these pipes so that the plumber can work with them and he can rearrange it and create something awesome out of it. But 7.5 hours later, we had finally finished. And we worked nonstop. And so I'm kind of, you know, some of you have kind of looked at me funny when you've asked, Pastor, how you doing today? And I'm like, I'm okay. Where's the Tylenol? Where's the ibuprofen? There we go. But the reason why we did that work was to reveal where the pipes were. And when I first looked at the story of John the Baptist, I got this picture in my mind of, wow, this idea of being eclipsed by the sun. But when I saw this eclipse by the sun, I actually saw three eclipses that were taking place. You see, the first eclipse was John's ministry was being eclipsed by Jesus' ministry, and his followers were jealous of his followers. And that was the first eclipse. And the second eclipse we looked at was the John statement of saying Jesus must be greater and greater and I must be less and less. And what this was referring to was, how do other people see us? That when they see us, do they see Jesus? Is Jesus eclipsing us? But today we're talking about the third eclipse that I saw. And that is, how does God see us when we've been baptized in Christ? What does he see when he sees us? Is there some sort of eclipse taking place there? And in order to understand this, just like the fold hazies with the jackhammer yesterday, we're going to have to dig a little deeper. And so I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles once again to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. We're digging a little bit deeper, still reading out of the New Living Translation. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 to 27. And the writer says this, "Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes." Have you ever heard someone say that basically all humans are really children of God? That, hey, we're all children of God. And yet we find, according to this passage, that that's not necessarily a true statement. You don't actually become a child of God until something takes place. There is a requirement, and that requirement is found in verse 26. "For you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus." You see, when you turn to God, your faith has made you a child of God through adoption. And the key part of that is that it's your faith. When you believe, you're part of the family. That's why we talk about family around here at Focus Church. Because when we believe, we're joined up together as if we were the same as Jesus. Not the same that he is God, but that we are brothers and sisters together. And we're joint heirs to everything that God has promised us. You see, it's like this. There once was a powerful king who was sitting on his throne judging the people. Guards would attend him, and commoners would wait in long lines for an audience. Suddenly, the doors of the throne room burst open, heads turn, and everyone gasps. There stand two little boys. One is clean, and the other is covered in mud, and he is crying. With brazen boldness, the unsullied boy tugs the other down the red carpet towards the throne. The guards pull their swords, waiting for a nod from the king to get rid of this intrusion. But the king holds up a hand and his face softens with a smile. The first little boy stops at the king's knee, pulls his buddy into the circle of his arms. He says, "Dad, this is my friend. He's scared and he's hurt. I told him that you could help him." The king opens his arms to envelop both boys, not caring that mud is smeared on the royal robe. He looks into the frightened eyes of the muddy waif and says, "Any friend of my son's is welcome here. How can I help you?" And that is what it's like with us and God. You see, our sin, the stuff we mess up, the stuff we get into, can't be in God's presence unless we are escorted by Jesus himself. You see, when God is seeing us being brought by Jesus, who is he seeing? Is he seeing the person in their sin, the person in their trouble, or is he seeing his son whom he loves? That's who he's seeing. It's like one is being eclipsed by the other. Now, this Tuesday is the first day of school for Sun Prairie, and they've been busy all the last few weeks getting ready, and last week there was all the open houses, and you get to meet the teacher and find out where your classes are, walk everything. And parents have been getting ready for back to school for a while, and you can see it in all the stores and the advertisements where they're saying, you got to get school supplies, you need a new backpack, and you need a new lunchbox, and you need new school clothes. Anybody here have to buy new school clothes, school supplies, everything? I mean, why do we do that? Why do we get all these new things for the beginning of school? I mean, wasn't it good enough that the stuff they had in May and June, good enough to just hold in a bucket and just say, here you go? No, you know why? Because we view the beginning of school as a start to something new. And it's a new day. And it doesn't matter how you performed last year. It doesn't matter what happened last year. It's like you have a blank slate and you're starting all over. And we buy into this as parents and we say, hey, we're putting fresh new clothes on you. We're going to take a picture. This is a memorable day. You start over. It's the new you. And so on Tuesday, there's going to be little boys and little girls that are going to be all dressed up, having taken their pictures, full of confidence, going on to the new day, a new year, a new them. And this is significant because, you see, when we believe and we have faith and we're joined to God's family, it's like it's our new first day. You see, when God sees you, he sees his son, Jesus, and he sees a sacrifice. In Galatians 3:27, it says, all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. It's like Jesus has fully surrounded us. So when God sees you, what does he see? He sees his son. And it's a new day. But here's the trouble. It is very real that we face an enemy that wants to harm us, that wants to destroy us, that wants to lie to us, that wants us to make us believe that the things of God are not true. And when we made a decision, we joined to God's family, we become children of God by faith, what we just looked at, and we are clothed in Christ. We are covered. We are eclipsed. That means we are able to go to God, and he's like, you are my child, because he sees his son in us. And yet, the enemy would like to whisper in your ear and say, you know what? There's no way that God would ever accept you. There's no way that God would ever forgive you of that thing you did back then. And he tries to bring in condemnation. He tries to bring in hurt. And he tries to have you kind of take off the robe. Get yourself out of the eclipse and say, you know what? God, I know you just can't love me enough. I'm not worthy of it. The fact of the matter is you're not worthy. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because of what he's done. And he loved you so much that he sent his son for this mission, for this purpose. That when you have faith and when you believe, you are a part of the family. And when God sees you, he sees his son Jesus. Don't ever step out of that. When I thought about this idea of this eclipse, of that when God's looking my way and he sees Jesus, it reminded me of a song from my childhood, something that I heard on the radio a long time ago. And that song for 3 weeks has been playing in my mind over and over and over. Because it's a reminder of what is happening on a daily basis, this eclipse. You see, the song says this. It's by Michelle Pilar, it's called When He Sees Me. It says, I'm not the righteous one. I've never been that way. I have to look into the mirror to see myself each day. I see a rebel and a sinner, everything I don't want to be. But I'm glad to know that Jesus He sees me differently. Because when he sees me, he sees his righteousness. He sees his Holy Spirit filling up the emptiness. When he looks at me, he sees the blood that he shed. I'm glad that he sees himself each time that he looks at me. This is something for us to take joy in, knowing that as a child of God, you are being eclipsed by the sun. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, we see that when you look at us, you're not really looking at who we are or what we've done. You're looking at us as you look at your own son. You see us as your children. Because when you see us, we're being eclipsed by the sun, by Jesus. But God, all too often, the enemy tries to lie to us, whisper in our ears, saying, you could never be worthy of God's love. You could never be forgiven of what you've done. At every opportunity, he spreads these lies. All too often, we believe them. And we begin to take ourselves out of behind your son. And I pray right now, God, that if there's anyone in this room here this morning who's been dealing with condemnation, with guilt, with shame, with feelings of unworthiness, with feelings of unforgiveness, that they could never be forgiven. God, I pray that the truth of your nature, your character, and your word would burn through like a laser light right now into their hearts and lives to realize that when you are looking at them, you smile because you see your son. Because they're eclipsed by your son. You see the sacrifice that your son made because you love them so much. And just like that king with that boy, help us to remember, God, that it is true that whoever is a friend of your son is a part of your family. Give us confidence in this today, God. Help us to remember these ideas of being eclipsed by your son. To realize this is how you see us. Because when we were forgiven, when we ask for forgiveness, it's done. And it's only the enemy who tries to bring it back. In Jesus' name.